Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Strong, the powerful Sean Heine is here on Money Savage Create. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me.
Sean is the founder and COO at SignalWire. They are the world's largest telecom platform, forming the backbone of modern communication applications like Amazon, Netflix, and Zoom. Again, I'm excited to dig into this with you, Sean. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Hey, George, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Been doing startups since age 12 or 13. Dial-up ISP in the 90s, hosting company, evolved into one of the first SaaS network security companies. Came out to Silicon Valley and joined a company called Barracuda Networks, helped them launch a good portion of their product portfolio through IPO, and then started working in telecommunications and open source to get technology out to more people. We end up becoming the arms dealer for everyone building telecom apps over the years.
That's right. So you figured out how to sort of build this technology, and then you said, you know what? Why are we supplying this to everybody else? Why don't we just do our own thing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the model we used is not uncommon in Silicon Valley, but pretty uncommon elsewhere in business. We use a model called open source, where we actually made software, we put it out there for free for everyone to use, and we put the source code out there so everyone can modify it. And what that does is it provides the Legos or the building blocks that companies can build whatever custom products they want. And that's what happened. You know, tens of thousands of companies used our open source to build products. And what happened was, is, you know, they get to the limit of what they can do with that, and so they look to the experts. Problem with the technology is that you had to hire teams of engineers, teams of real specific engineers that know about telecom and stuff. So it wasn't very scalable unless you had a ton of money like Netflix or, you know, the Ring doorbell that could hire 60 engineers to do it. So part of our challenge right now is to take this amazing tech we built and open it up to more people. So really help accelerate the telecommunications movement that's happening right now.
So why would a company choose to, is it they choose to make it open so that other people can then improve it, which is a net benefit for everybody?
That's the rough concept. You know, if you make it open, the theory is that you solicit a community, and that the community of other businesses and people would contribute to the project, and that overall that would increase the acceleration of progression. And that's been true, you know, that was especially true in the 90s. A lot of the internet was built on open source technology. The problem is that, you know, with the dot-com bubble and subsequent, financing events, it didn't make financial sense to build software and give it away for free because you couldn't support it. And then you end up being, burdened by your financial sponsors, the people that are bankrolling. So you kind of lose some of the freedom that you originally intended to have because you're just kind of being bountied by, you know, the guys with money. So, you know, we decided to take that into our own hands so we could decide our own future. And that's why we started SignalWire.
That's interesting, right? Can you sort of look back and maybe point to the time where so much money came into the space that it stopped making sense to just try to do it all open?
Oh, absolutely. yeah, I mean, there's literally a light bulb moment. We'd been working on this project. The original author, a guy named Tony Minasoli, our CEO, written most of the code, you know, over 15 years, like 95% of the code. So very little contribution from the community. and literally, I'm not making this up, literally billions of dollars market value on top of this code. And Tony and friends threw a you know, kind of a geek conference every year. It's still going on, called ClueCon. And it's kind of the upper echelon of people in this telecom industry, the smartest developers. And, you know, about 300 of them get together every year. And I've been going, you know, pretty much since inception. So I've seen this thing grow. And 4 or 5 years ago, I was standing next to Tony. And this is a guy who's, you know, in his house, has worked his balls off for 15 years. And, you know, he's made some consulting money, but nothing like the people. And this guy walks up to him, guy he's never met, comes up to him and says, "Tony, I got to shake your hand." He's like, "Okay." And he's like, "You made me $300 million. I took your code and I sold it to Verizon after 11 months of work and they bought it. And $280 million later, and I'm doing the next thing." So, and you could just see his eyes just, you know. And it was kind of a light bulb moment. Like, okay, the real value, the cash value in this business is actually building this business infrastructure around it. And you've seen that model. Like Red Hat was originally open source and they kind of built a consulting business around it. And this company, you know, MySQL. And I mean, it's in the Silicon Valley, the story has been done. And basically it leads to, you have to build a commercial business around your open source project in order to be able to control and sustain it.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So how often or how much time are people spending just trying to, I don't want to say steal, but build upon existing tech or code and just create new companies that are almost identical to an existing company?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, if you look at, you know, it's kind of one of the businesses we're playing with, that we started playing with in the last 3 years, is the business that Twilio's in. You know, Twilio is a publicly traded company, and they primarily sell a service around sending programmatic text messages. So if your bank wants to send you a text message, or they make 80% of their $400 or $500 million a year off of sending text messages. So, you know, that was a pretty easy element for us to just go and clone right away. And so, you know, we did that in like 3 months, and we created a Twilio clone, and yeah, it was syntax compatible, pretty easy to use. And it started the notion that, yeah, you could take our fundamentally free software and create a clone of this, you know, $4 billion market cap company in 3 months. Oh. And then we started on this process of, hey, we're going to clone Zoom, and not clone Zoom, but we're going to make a better video platform, because we really felt like Zoom wasn't doing the trick for most people. So when the pandemic hit, we took our tech and we started wrapping it in what we're using now, SignalWire Work, which is a lot of our tech we already had, and we productized it in a few months. Like we launched this like 3 months ago.
Amazing.
And you know, we already have a platform that's pretty compelling. I mean, we're winning Fortune 1000 deals left and right. So what we've proven is that, you know, because we're the arms dealers, we're able to essentially create whatever company we want with our own tech in a short period of time. So we did Twilio, we did Zoom. We're coming after events companies because live events are horrible. So we're going after that, and we got a lot of stuff planned.
So I'm sure that, just to use Twilio as the example, they can't be thrilled by this.
No, if you look at Twilio, I think Twilio knows the writing's on the wall, because any smart person would know. I mean, even if you're not in tech, like, the future of telecommunications is not text messaging. That was the future 15 years ago. Like, that is not the future. And if you cannot morph your business into something other than text messaging, you're in trouble. And that's where Twilio is. They're trying to, they realize this is happening. You see them getting to call centers, and they're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall, trying to find another path. But, you know, in the technology innovation, we're the real innovators here. Twilio was able to do SMS, but we can do voice, video, messaging, you know, the entire enchilada. And you were at least 5 years ahead of everybody else. You know, we didn't give this tech to anyone else. We didn't give this tech to Zoom. We didn't give this tech to Dialpad.
Nice. Okay. So when you said you're now looking at the event space, what does that mean?
Well, I can articulate a little bit. You know, in this post-COVID world, we've been kind of forced in a world where, you know, most people spend their day in Zoom rooms or Zoom calls, and their scheduled meetings, and they start at a specific time and they end at a specific time. And it's kind of a formal agenda, and it's just soul sucking, and there's no intimate connection. There's no informal connection. So that's part of it. But when it comes to the event space, and this adds to the whole thing, we have the technology in order to put everyone on screen at the same time. Everyone can make eye contact the entire time. And you can experience the audience. You can experience the people that are listening to your message. So now an artist could feedback on the audience. They can see if the audience is clapping. They can hear them. They can see if they're excited. They can see if their eyes are engaged. Everyone experiences the same thing. So everyone, you know, if you're in a physical room, you have the same experience as everyone else. And that's true on the SignalWire platform. So you have full video and audio control, kind of like a video producer would. So you kind of control the show. It's not, you know, one person switching on the main screen, whoever's talking. It's pretty technical, but we have the tech in order to audio and video mux up to 100 people on screen at the same time and actually hear what they're saying and actually be able to see everybody in 20 frames a second. And the way the other guys work around this is they don't have that tech, so they can only show one person at a time in any sort of sane way. So what they do is they video switch. You know, one person's talking, they video switch to the next person. That's the one getting the full resolution. Then they video switch. It's just not how people work. And especially in the event space, it's pretty lacking. Like, if you go to a live event right now, almost on any platform, there's really no value add in being there live. You're not experiencing it with an audience. There's no content that's feeding off the audience. There's very little interaction, maybe some text, but it might as well have been pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're changing that.
Well, that's certainly going to have a million different uses, right? I mean, I can think about that, obviously, what you're talking about, just like performances, but do you see it playing out just mimicking just like an office environment?
Well, yeah, so those are kind of two branches. You and I are talking in my virtual workspace in SignalWire Work right now, and it's pretty early Eastern time still, and most of my folks are in the West Coast. So I actually could show you people coming to the office, theoretically, if they're coming into the office. But this is how we work. We work in always on video, and there's privacy controls, so I can mute myself, I can deaf my audio, so if I want to go heads down and people can knock on my, you know, I can go into a private mode where people can knock. I can see who's in their rooms. I can see if they're happy. I can see if they're yelling at someone, just as I would if I walked into the office. Even though I'm not privy to the conversation, you know, I can through nonverbal communication, I can learn a lot about my office environment. And that's a piece of what we're trying to replicate, the piece you don't get in Zoom. You know, that nonverbal communication that actually adds to the efficiency of your business. You know, I know if the CEO, the CEO's meeting with one of our, you know, VCs today. I may not have been in that meeting, but that's important for me to know about, you know, just kind of ad hoc, you know, and that all that adds up. And we're able to capture that experience as well as the just popping in and bouncing an idea off someone or just saying hi, yeah, or, you know, not having to have a formal agenda for every moment of communication with your coworker.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. It's those kind of circumstance, happenstance communications that we have that, you know, people talk about spurs creativity or whatever it might be. You can't do that with scheduling and scheduling a Zoom meeting or whatever. So I appreciate that. How is everybody going to need new hardware? Or is this going to be functional on my smartphone or my laptop?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff we're building is all built to run within a browser, whether a browser on, you're using a browser now, but a browser on your mobile phone or browser on your desktop, it doesn't matter. One of the big problems we see with existing solutions is it requires you to install some sketchy software. on your desktop, you know, and I emphasize sketchy because some of the leading companies here have had major problems like remote access to your Mac camera without your permission. You know, that was a big deal almost a year ago. And the reality is when you install code, you know, from a third party on your Windows or Mac machine or your mobile phone, you're giving a lot of permission, a lot of security access. I mean, obviously this is a big deal right now with SolarWinds and the US government hack. And because the federal government installed software from SolarWinds, they assumed to be trusted, put it inside their network, and turns out the Russians are using that to get inside the federal government. Not too dissimilar to with these other applications you can install on your desktop. You don't know who's installed that code. With SignalWire, all you have to do is trust the browser. Do you trust Google and Chrome? Do you trust Mozilla and Firefox? If you do, then that's all the software you need, and that is secured. It's encrypted directly to us through the same methods that encrypt your credit card information and stuff like that. So the entire conversation is encrypted. You're not installing any software. So it really is a security emphasis. And we're working with, we have some major government and security clients that are using us specifically for that reason.
And that's all because you're able to do this because you have just better stuff.
The browser technology, like we're kind of on the leading edge of figuring out how to do this in the browser without having to install, like I said, software. And this has only been possible in the last couple of years that the browsers have got this technology. It's really going to open stuff up.
Nice. And how is everything going? Is this a fun time, a hard time?
Yeah, I mean, we're a startup. We're a Silicon Valley startup. We're well funded, and we happen to be in an amazing situation that we make some of the best video and audio tech in the middle of a global pandemic where people have to use it. So things are good at SignalWire. We have incredible customers we're working with to deliver the next kind of level of experience that you're going to get. And it's an exciting time.
Awesome, man. Excellent. Well, Sean, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Difference-making tip. Well, let me see. Look, if I can offer some good advice here. One of the things I think for an entrepreneur, I think the hardest thing is always to get started. And for me specifically, I have a million ideas. Like I get a new, probably solid business idea just about every week. And if I could only execute on any of them. And when I look through historically, you know, the ones that I've failed to execute on, it really comes down to just getting started. Like taking the first step and actually getting moving is super difficult as an entrepreneur because it's you're taking some of the biggest risks. You're putting yourself out there. You're saying that I may fail. And, you know, one thing I picked up on very young is that, and I don't know if this stays true anymore, but I read this when I was like 15 in Byte Magazine or something that, you know, Silicon Valley entrepreneurs do, you know, 10 startups before they get one successful. And that always kind of stuck in my head. It's like, I just need to knock out 10 of these and one of these is going to be big. And it was kind of just a constant reminder, just get started, keep going on one of these. I'm on my like sixth startup or so. And it looks like SignalWire is going to be pretty big.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
John, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you and where can they learn about SignalWire?
Well, hey, George, if any of your listeners want to get a free 30-day trial of anything we're offering, we can do that. You can use code George and we'll give your customers a free 30-day trial at SignalWire.com, SignalWire.com.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Sean your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to signalwire.com and enter the code word George for 30-day free trial. I love it. Thanks again, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money. getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.